Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hello and welcome to Dream Job Ready. My name is Dane Sharp, I'm your host, and my guest for this episode is Mark Wheeler, Head of YouTube and Large Customer Marketing at Google. Mark is a brand and marketing director with more than 20 years of experience to his name. He's got a digital spine and he bleeds innovation. He's worked in regional and global roles, both in the UK, where he's from, and here in Australia, where he lives now. He helped launch Captain Morgan Spice Rum around the world from 2008 to 2012. From 2013 to 18, he led the digital transformation of McDonald's in Australia and New Zealand. That's obviously where I know Wheels. He was my boss at Macca's for over 2 years, and we had the chance to work together on a bunch of cool stuff while we were there. We spearheaded the growth of McDonald's social media channels, digitised the famous Macca's Monopoly game with a number one rated mobile app, and launched the McDonald's mobile ordering app in 2018. Legacy set, Mark left McDonald's when he secured a dream job with Google. He loves his role there and speaks so strongly about the company's mission and culture. If Google is a dream job destination for you, you're going to want to hear what Mark thinks makes Google's people unique and how someone can get a job there and then go on to be successful. Throughout the interview, we talk a lot about personal growth, making mistakes, and acting on key learnings. And Mark shares a lot of informative advice about building your work experience, managing your resume and job stack, and developing and diversifying your business skills. This episode really is a must-listen for everyone out there looking to land their dream job with a big brand in marketing or advertising. Let's get this started. I know you're going to enjoy the episode. This is Dream Job Ready with Mark Wheeler.
Please note that the opinions of guests are their own and not those of the companies they have worked for.
Yeah, g'day, Shelby. Firstly, thanks for inviting me in. So my current role is I look after marketing for YouTube across Australia and New Zealand. And within that, basically that is around talking to and communicating with our audiences online around the amazing creators, the amazing content, the amazing artists, musicianal and long-form film and short-form on the platform. So really communicating the benefits of YouTube. And there's a mixture of audiences that we talk to. As well as that, I also look after our large customer marketing team. And that is a slightly different job, actually. That's all really about communicating ads to the advertising community. And again, the opportunity to grow their businesses large, mainly. Through using Google's advertising products and technology stack.
And, you know, we'll obviously unpack more of your role with Google and with YouTube as we talk today. It's such a huge, diverse company. Can you talk to really quickly some of the other divisions within the business you work with, some of the peers, some of the external companies that you get to work with in your role?
There's a bunch of products that we go to market to here and across the world. And there's a bunch of functions in the company that we work with. So from policy to sales orgs, comms teams, and we all sort of cross-functionally work to communicate the benefits and the helpfulness of Google products to our audiences.
And dream job, just as it says on the job title?
Yeah, definitely a dream job, actually.
Has it been a goal of yours to work with Google for a while? Because if it's a top 10 company for students around the world to work for.
Post sort of working at McDonald's, towards the end of my career there, I wanted to get back into working in tech and for a technology company. I started my career, we'll probably talk about that later on, with Hewlett-Packard, and really got the bug for digital and technology and the enablement that it can give and the sort of disruption that it's driving within a number of industries. And yeah, I definitely want to get it back into tech. And Google's top of the list for wanting to work there. And there's a number of reasons why. The culture and the way that they support the employees and I guess the focus on the people in the company is really, really key. And I think as I've got further on my career, wanting to work for a company that has that at its heart and have a really strong culture became really important for me actually as I got further through. And Google really takes that really seriously in terms of how we look after our people, develop them. But also from a product side, Google's products are helpful. We talk about helpfulness a lot in terms of our internal and external go-to-market sort of strategy. And I think a number of our products are helping communities and individuals and users around the world. We're also user first. And I think that's really important in a technology and a product type way that you are user first and user centric. And I think that's the appeal for me for working at Google, not only culture, user first, but also the focus on culture and people. The other piece I think for me is its mission and its purpose to organize the world's information, make it universally accessible and useful, has been consistent for the 20 years that Google's been sort of running. I think a company that is so focused on its purpose and continues to hold that true is somewhere that I wanted to work and sort of, yeah, was fortunate to get a job there.
Well, let's talk about how you got the job there, mate. Let's flash back in time a little bit. I'd love to know what your first dream job was when you were growing up. You know, what did you want to be when you were an adult, Mark Wheeler?
Well, maybe go a bit earlier. So I was about sort of from about 10 years old, bit of a sort of sports fan, played a lot of sport, mainly cricket and football, and sort of wanted to be a professional cricketer or professional footballer, like a lot of people back in England. And sort of played to a reasonably good standard at cricket. Like we were playing in sort of county cricket in is what it's called in England. I'm playing at a sort of a good standard. About 14, I got put forward to sort of West of England trials and sort of coaching weekends and sort of took the opportunity to think, oh, here we go. This is my big break. Going to be playing at Lords in the future. And you never know, might make a career out of it. But I think at that point, I really realized just the difference between me and the sort of my peers and the people around me. And that I wasn't going to sort of make it, if I'm honest. And I think that was a clear realization that I wasn't going to be a pro footballer or cricketer. Mm-hmm. And so I realized quite quickly I was going to have to get into business and sort of change my focus, if you like, in terms of what I wanted to do. My dad's in sales or was in sales, and my mum's a bit of an artist streak, and we always talked about advertising a lot in my house. I don't know why. Like we enjoyed watching ads, TV ads, and talked about them. And it was never one where we'd walk away from the sort of the break, the ad breaks. Yeah. And I don't know why. It just seemed to resonate as an area of sort of marketing and advertising. So I just felt like an area I should be sort of leaning into. And so towards the end of my sort of schooling career, I sort of realized that that's sort of what I wanted to go into. And so picked a university course that specialized in marketing. It's like a Bachelor of Arts in Marketing.
You're one of the lucky ones. It's such a harsh reality for some people that want to go on to be professional in sports or modeling or acting, et cetera, if they don't get to make that and have to make that next decision. Or for the majority of people that don't yet know what they want to do or haven't discovered that passion, for you to make that decision quite swiftly was a godsend from your opinion. So you looked at that and then you looked straight at schooling and looked at advertising marketing. Yeah. And did you get any other guidance or advice along the way from other people in the industry or anyone that your parents knew, et cetera, that helped that decision or?
Not really. I was fortunate. I got a really strong family sort of around me, mum and dad and a couple of bros. But no, nothing external to that. It was really quite just one of those things. I just sort of realized I wanted to go into marketing, and it felt that sort of mix between business and selling and a bit of creativity. So that sort of mix with my parents sort of came through. It was a bit random actually. Like I studied economics at A-level, geography and design. So again, a bit of business, a bit of creativity in there as well. But I just sort of stumbled, I guess, upon the fact that I wanted to get into marketing and advertising was a sort of a passion point.
That's really cool. And this is going to be a tough question. It's a hard question for everyone. Is there any advice you could give to, you know, students out there trying to make that decision right now, trying to figure out what they should do? Anything you've learned over time that would help?
Yeah, like I think going and doing things that you're passionate about, I think is really important. I wanted to work in a job where I enjoyed getting up every morning and going to work. And a lot of people talk about the fact that they'd want to be a sports person or pro athlete. I think that was my first take. I was passionate about sport, a bit of a sport monkey, as you call it. But I think you've got to lean into your passions and try and do something that you're going to enjoy getting up every day. Like if you go to work and you don't enjoy it, I thought that would be pretty pretty challenging.
What kind of uni student was Mark Wheeler?
Look, I probably was a bit slow to lean into the sort of the work ethic. I did a four-year sandwich course, what it's called in England, where you do sort of 3 years at the university and 1 year out in industry where I worked at Hewlett Packard.
Awesome.
I deferred my starting university. I wanted to go and travel and came to Australia. And that's sort of when I fell in love with Australia and Sydney, but also wanted to make sure I sort of had that break before I jumped into 3 or 4 years of study. The first couple, if I'm honest, was probably more social than work, at least the first year. I don't think my dad was too impressed with the, sort of the drinking degree that I sort of discussed with him. But it wasn't until I went away to work, I worked here at Packard and then came back, that I really sort of buckled down, needed to sort of up my work ethic, realized that I needed to sort of, focus a bit more and work to actually get a degree and come out of it with a decent degree. So I was probably a bit slow to knuckle down, but once I'd been out of work, been out of university to go and work at Hewlett Packard and then came back, my whole sort of mindset shifted in terms of wanting to, A, specialize in digital. I got that bug at Hewlett Packard.
Yep.
And that really sort of changed my focus around marketing, but being focused on digital marketing and sort of how digital was disrupting a lot of industry and a lot of categories. So yeah, I was a bit slow, but got there in the end.
Can I ask about the work placement? Different students have different situations at their universities or college. Some are mandatory placements, others are leveraged off your own will and initiative. I'm a huge advocate for it. I went to a university, my degree at the time, it was kind of up to you. If you wanted to go and chase that stuff, the university was very supportive of it. So much so that during my UOW degree, the third year I got a job, my lecturers were so pumped that I was in the media industry. They were super supportive. They were like, go work and we'll work around you, which is, is hard to sort of dream up. Talk about how important you believe that work placement, work experience is to help put people in the right direction, learn on the job, and then rip into it when you get there.
Yeah, I think it was a really important decision in my life, actually, around firstly wanting to come out of university with some work, sort of professional experience. I think a lot of, at least in England, and it's probably the same in Australia and around the world, there's a lot of people getting degrees now. And I think gone are the days where you get a degree, you get a job. And I think talking to my parents and working it through, the opportunity to go to a university that had a sandwich course, there wasn't that many in marketing, and then coming out with at least a year's experience, I felt would then set me up hopefully for a better opportunity to get a job, sort of a real job, when I came out of university. So a significant decision in my life, and definitely helped when I sort of came out of university to then get that job and start my career proper.
Do you give people advice to travel as well during those early years?
Yeah, definitely. I think getting out, traveling the world, I went on my own for quite a slug of that, but with some friends as well. And I think getting into an experience in different cultures, being on your own, that you have to go and sort of chat to people, otherwise you're going to be stuck on your own, sort of reading books, I definitely think helps your confidence. And I think it definitely broadens your mind from being outside of the world that you grew up in. So I would definitely... I would definitely recommend getting out there and traveling. I think it just makes you a bit more of a well-rounded individual when it comes to then your career and work and experience.
And the holiday here must have gone okay if you've ended up living and working here. So we'll get into that in a minute. But I did want to ask, you must have been kicking yourself knowing early you wanted to go into advertising, finishing your degree, and then you're in the London advertising scene. Like, yeah, talk us through that.
Yeah, it probably looks a bit more succinct on paper than it was in reality, right. I think.
That's agency world though, isn't it, sometimes?
Well, a little bit, yeah. That's true, yeah. A bit of a facade. But look, I finished university and I took another year, actually.
Did you? Okay.
Yeah, I had another break. During university, I actually lost my bro, and I just sort of promised him I'd give a sort of not live life to the sort of like every day is my last, but yeah. At least get out there and do a bit more. And I was also in my head going, I'm going to work for 40 years. I won't get this chance again once I've got kids and family. It's pretty hard to have a break. So had another break, came out to Australia again.
Did you?
Yeah, I love the country and clearly do. I live here and a citizen. Did a bit more travel to Kiwi this time and a bit more South Asia. Southeast Asia, and then came back sort of with a bit of a bump. Right, I've got to pay for the debt that I've sort of accumulated as I travelled around. And now sort of the big lights of London were there to try and sort of start my career proper. It wasn't easy to get a job straight away, actually. I thought the having a sandwich year and that experience, like easy door would be open, I'd be straight in. It still took a few months to get the sort of the right role, but was fortunate enough to join a very, very small little tech company, little tech agency. Three people. Yeah. One coder, one owner, and then me, who was doing pretty much everything from making tea to the wages to pitching to clients. We had Kangle as a sort of the only client, and it was a super good experience, like a sort of a great start to my career because I had to do everything and really learn about business in a very small entity. In tech, in digital, building a website, going back a little bit now, yeah. A microsite, a bit of Flash, a bit of HTML backup, GIF backup. So yeah, learned a lot in that first role, and that was my intro into sort of the ad world and agency world.
And that's the reality, right? Like you're not going to walk in and be the CEO of Google or overnight.
No way.
So you got to start metaphorically at the bottom, and you got to build up. Do you believe that approaching that with the right mindset sets you up in the right way?
Yeah, I definitely think so. In agencies, you have sort of what's called runners, like the traditional, you're right at the bottom, you're running around, setting up meetings, meeting rooms, getting tea for the clients. I think you learn a bunch at that stage of just how AdWord works, how the client and agencies interact and engage. And I think you've got to be super open, hopefully, to just try and get a broad view of what it's like. Hopefully have the right attitude that you can learn at that level and it's going to set you up and you'll grow and you'll get hopefully better as you go. Yeah. But no doubt, I think you've got to have the right attitude to start. And I think that comes through when you're trying to look for that job that potential employers are going to be looking for, have they got the passion? And do they want to sort of come in and not be too worried about what they're doing right at the start, especially at that stage of your career, to learn and sort of get better and grow?
I think it's so pivotal across any role that you're in or any business that you're in to be open to those opportunities and be willing to say yes, have a crack, try and figure it out. But working for an agency, it's tenfold. And you've got your people in an advertising or a digital agency that are that piece of furniture, they've been there for consecutive years and in their role, but the majority of people are moving and shifting and changing clients and changing roles and changing positions pretty swiftly, right? Yep. And I think it's such a critical thing to understand that it may not be perfect on paper or as glossy as it now looks on your LinkedIn, but you've got to have a crack, right? And if you don't like it, that's also helpful.
Yeah, I think when you're starting your career, you just want to be looking for learning opportunities and a sort of a platform to jump from. And I think I was fortunate. I got a role where I was literally just doing everything, and that sort of started me off. And then progressed to other bigger agencies. So joined aptly named agency.com, which was a pretty big at the time digital agency. We had some big clients like British Airways and British Telecom. They were great times. Met my wife working in agency world, and it was sort of the height of .com and sort of digital, where we were building big microsites and banner ads, and we had the media internally. And it was some really great times.
Inventing it as well to some degree, right? Definitely.
And I think there's a lot of my friends are still from that era where you, there was no real line between work and sort of play. You'd roll straight from the agency out into London for a few beers. You were pitching over weekends. There was no sort of, I'm clocking off, I'm out. And the culture was just one where everybody was sort of driving to the same focus. And over a course of, I guess, 4 or 5 years in agency, I jumped around a bit just to learn how different agencies worked, different models. So I was sort of a really small agency than a big digital mainly agency that got acquired and into an integrated agency, and then moved sort of got tapped on the shoulder to come and join Dare at the time, Dare Digital, to work on Sony Electronics, which was a really fun short period of time, but a really interesting job where we're sort of, as a category inventor, which was Walkman, Sony Walkman, yep. All of a sudden Apple came in with the iPod, and all of a sudden Sony Walkman is then trying to sort of be a challenger brand back and sort of keep hold of its share. And so that was a really interesting time across Europe working for Sony Electronics. And yeah. Again, sort of seeing the tech industry and digital and wanting to, I guess, lean into that a bit more. And then sort of four guys who owned or sort of were at a big agency then created a whole new agency called Work Club. And their philosophy was, in an ad world, an agency, talent and churn is high and there's not enough focus on retaining, developing and building out, I guess, people within the agency. So I loved the philosophy and wanted to join Martin Brooks, who was a really inspirational leader at the time in the market and in the city. And so joined a startup again, sort of went back a little bit, number 7. Employee and again back into doing everything really. It was fun times, just that growth of agency. I think by the time I left it was sort of up to 35-40. Mm-hmm. Some really great clients and again learn a bunch. I did feel at the time, was I jumping around too much? And how would that look at my CV? And I think that's something you sort of need to consider, making sure that there's enough time and there's sort of there's not reasons why you're sort of moving on and leaving or getting asked to move on. But for me, it was about learning different agency models, different clients, global, local market clients. I really wanted to get a broad feel, if you like, or broad experience across a bunch of different agencies and a bunch of different clients. And I really enjoyed working in agency world. The culture and the energy is pretty unique and it's good fun.
Did you ever doubt what you wanted to do? Did you ever go, advertising's not for me in any of those days?
No way. No, I think I got the bug. Yep. And I was sort of just really and passionate about the industry and advertising and marketing more broadly. Yep. But no doubts. Just sort of, I guess, considering whether I wanted to stay in agency world or move to client. And that was a bit of a change.
I was about to ask you that question because, you know, you mentioned some really cool brands there and you start getting exposed to more and more and different and diverse companies and people and brands. How did you decide you wanted to make that switch eventually? Do you remember?
Yeah, no, I do. I think one of the challenges in agency world, it depends on the client, depends on the agency, is you're sort of working from brief to brief, campaign to campaign and quite short term. And I felt I wanted to look a bit further out and work on a brand for a longer time. Yeah. And so that was the appeal for me to work sort of client side and work in a company, was to help shape the future of that company, that brand, work on longer term briefs and the strategies, and sort of move away from this quite short termism that you sort of get in agencies. Not all agencies, a lot of agencies are trying to help clients look further ahead, but at least the agencies I was working was a bit short term, so I wanted to move at some point. I was then fortunate, again got the tap on the shoulder from a boss at agency.com actually, who saw an opportunity. She'd moved also to Diageo. She was in the US looking after Smirnoff, and she saw a role and thought of me because she knew I'd sort of spoken at some point to her probably about moving client side. Right. And then got the opportunity to join Diageo in London, which was a great opportunity.
Was that the first personal who you know lead that had got you a job up until that point, just out of curiosity?
Yeah, I think it was actually. It was the sort of the somebody I had connected with when I worked agency world. She's still a friend and a mentor now, and I think you need to try and make those connections as you go through your career. Not everything's sometimes they just happen organically. Other times you might want to try and create some of those connections. Mm-hmm. But most of mine have been organic and either working with people, all my bosses actually.
Yeah. You mentioned Martin Brooks before. Martin.
Yeah. Yeah. Martin was one actually I didn't know him before. I knew of him, didn't know him personally. I knew he was a sort of a pretty amazing leader. And then when he came and spoke to me, it was like, yeah, this sounds pretty cool what you're trying to do. And love to have a crack. I think Michelle, working with her at agency.com, we had a good connection and she put me forward to the job, and unfortunately enough, I was able to land it.
Let's talk about mentorship. Some people gravitate naturally to it and go and seek that opportunity. Mm. Others are potentially too shy or it's not in their nature. What's your experience with it? If I wanted Mark Wheeler as my mentor, how do I go about it?
Yeah, good question. I'm not sure there's a book for it, actually. I think it's the way I've approached it is I've had a connection with somebody, got to know them on a personal level as well as a professional, and it sort of happened organically. I've never really seeked it out. I'm not really sure there is a book to do it. I think probably just asking a question once you've got a connection. I'm not sure I'd be just reaching out without knowing that individual. Sure. I think you probably got to have some sort of relationship, so they know you a little bit or some way so that they can sort of help shape your career, but they know you from doing it. I think it'd be a bit strange just to reach out to somebody you don't know to try and then, would you be a mentor? I think it would, I'm not sure it would land as well as.
Establish a relationship first.
Definitely establish a relationship first, hopefully with somebody that knows you somewhat, and then they can help shape your career and help sort of answer questions when you're going through that.
The other thing that you just made a comment about that I wanted to stop on was around the filling your resume. And you mentioned that there was a thought for a minute there that jumping around too much might be detrimental or form an opinion for someone in the future. I think it's a really interesting one because I think that goes through everybody's head at one point, either because they've changed roles a couple of times, and then I think conversely today when you're in a role for too long potentially. Talk about when you're looking to hire people or interview people for roles. Is it still a consideration that, oh, he's had three jobs in 3 years, that's a red flag, or is it a case by case?
I think it's case by case. I think there's instances when it sort of makes sense. I think agency world, there's quite a lot of churn. Jumping around, you can sort of, I guess, quantify the why and the sort of good reason for it. I think most of the time, as long as there's a good reason for it, it's okay. I think you get a little bit nervous when you see a CV and there's a lot of jumping in sort of a year or 2 years. I think as long as there's sort of a year plus, I think you can sort of talk it and talk the reasons why. But it's definitely case by case.
Yeah. And I would say in our industry, there is so much to learn in 12 months. You almost expect someone's going to need 12 months to understand their role and their capabilities there.
Yeah.
And then from there, there's different cadences of how quickly people maybe get bored or just are ready to find a different opportunity. So, yeah, I think that's really interesting, especially today, you know, the gone are the consistent 20-year tenures that people are having. So let's get into the fun stuff because I know the next role, the big role that you went to, I've heard you talk about this before with Diageo. Tell us about that role, mate. What were you doing? How'd you get the job?
Yeah, as I said, I was lucky I was put forward by an ex-colleague or an ex-manager. It's funny enough, I didn't get the first time, actually. I went in, had interviews with the sort of the hiring manager. Not sure whether they were looking for somebody different or they had sort of different aspirations for the role, but didn't get it the first time.
Can I ask what the job title was or what the role was?
Head of marketing or sort of head of digital for rum, the rum category. So the way that Diageo is set up, it's by liquor category. Mm-hmm. So you have a rums team, you have a vodka team, whiskey team. The vodka team are based in New York. Rum was based in London. Stout beer based in Ireland because of Guinness. So you're basically working in a global role. They had global roles in London and around the world. And then you had regional teams and their market teams. My job that I went for was to work in the global brand team for rum. Yep. The rum portfolio for Diageo, Captain Morgan was their biggest.
The captain,
good old Captain and Coke. But there was a bunch of sort of rums in that portfolio ranging from sort of Captain all the way up to super premium. So Cathique, Pampero, and then up to my personal favorite, Zacapa.
Had you touched spirits or alcohol or the drinks industry in previous roles in agencies up until that point?
No, most of my jobs on agency was either sort of technology, British Airways, British Telecom, Sony Electronics. No alcohol brands. It did attract me, I think, from an advertising and sort of brand building point of view. I think that was one of the reasons I wanted to get into Diageo, was how they build brands. I think a lot of my experience was sort of agency. I learned in marketing that half of our job, most of our job actually is to build brands. And Diageo has a way of building brands. It has an approach to it. And it was something a bit like the Unilevers and the P&Gs.
Yeah.
I knew or hoped I could learn a bunch around brand building and how you build brands and how you strategize about that before you jump into the creative. So it was appealing probably more from that point of view rather than the category and the sort of the alcohol side. And some of these brands are over 150 years old. Yeah. And so the opportunity to work on some of them was just something that really attracted me. Based in London, a global role as well, I think was an attraction.
That's cool.
To sort of launch brands in certain markets, to oversee and manage and be a guardian of a brand globally was attractive. I think working with the US was a significant part of that global business was also attractive. Majority of my time before that had been a lot of sort of regional, so Europe and market, England. So global, how you build brands and learning how to properly do that. And in London and alcohol was pretty attractive.
I want to hear some fun stories because, you know, the marketing and advertising around Captain Morgan, you know, recently has been on point. It's been everywhere. It's been really cool. You've already told us, you know, in some of those early agency roles, doing some coding and some banners, that doesn't sound interesting compared to what I'm sure you're going to tell me about, you know, some of your travels, et cetera. What were some of the wow moments in that new heavy hitting industry of advertising liquor?
Yeah, like it was a great fun job. I think Captain especially, I think what made it unique and still makes it unique today is you've got Sir Henry Morgan, a real person, which not a lot of people realize is Captain Morgan, a buccaneer, not a pirate, as we always say. So you had that heritage of a historic real figure. He was the only buccaneer pirate to take on Drake in sort of Panama, and it was all that sort of historic or history to it. But the sort of the fun side of it was running around with a guy dressed up as a pirate or a buccaneer was pretty fun. We had some trips down to South Africa around the World Cup. We activated around that and took a bunch of people, 18 to sort of 30-year-olds from around the world down to South Africa and showed them an interesting time, legendary time. And it was all about adventures, a bit like the captain. Another one was we went to, we hired an island in the Caribbean, Captain's Island, and we put a fun week on a competition, digital competition, upload a video back in those days.
Hopefully a lot better than the Fire Festival of recent times.
Yeah, it was a lot better than that. And then there was other, like, it was a really great time. Sort of a lot of the on-trade activation was fun, getting into bars and activating and trying to bring the energy. I think half the sort of the job working on Captain was around sparking legendary times with sort of the proposition. And so the timing of when we went into bars, how we activated, how we turned up, having the sort of personification of the brand as a real human coming in, bringing that energy was really interesting. And even today, I'm still good friends with the global captain who trained and engaged and did a lot of the work. And so it was a really great time. But it wasn't just Captain, actually. I think some of the other brands were really interesting across the portfolio. But Captain was the main one, activating it globally, traveling around the world, and really learning how to build brands, I think was what really attracted me to the job and why I loved it so much.
And this is a big step for you, right? Like this is a dream job, but you've obviously had to make some adjustments, learn fast, learn new things, be good, be great to actually get it and then succeed in it. You know, you're in the role for 4.5 years, I believe. So, you know, talk to me about that transition, if you will, because you mentioned Diageo. You didn't have to work in the liquor industry to hear that name and that brand and that company all the time.
Yeah.
And you talked about, you know, going and working for brands that are hundred years old. There's a lot of responsibility on you as an employee to make sure you keep everything true to that brand and represent it as best as you can. That's a big step up for someone that's young. Can you remember, like, just taking that in, or did you just take it on the fly and rip in?
Yeah, like I think the amazing thing about Diageo was the training and development it put into its people. Again, right. Sort of took away any of that sort of concern around it. I think it has a really clear sort of Diageo's way of building brands, a sort of a training manual, if you like, that is consistent around the world. So it sort of was really helpful in terms of how you understood the brand, what was its sort of spirit and how you'd bring it to life. And so the training and development at Diageo was pretty cool. And I think that really made me sort of lift from my experience in ad world and having a marketing degree to really understanding proper marketing and how you become more strategic. I had a great boss, a couple of great bosses there actually. You know, I've been really fortunate through all my career that I've learned a bunch from different bosses along the way. Mm-hmm. I learned about the big idea there actually. I remember taking an idea to my boss at the time and his feedback was, it's not a big idea. I was like, what do you mean? He goes, where's the big idea? How do you blow this out? How do you make it so it can be executed across all the channels? And I sort of walked away from that reading a little bit around, okay, I need to rethink this. And I think that that sort of changed my perception around marketing and how you come up with ideas. But no, I don't think there was a time when I was sort of concerned. I think you just have to roll with it. You have to lean in and want to learn. You should be sort of respectful to the brand and the company you're working for and want to learn, develop, and hopefully that'll stand you in good stead.
Anything that you can remember stuffing up, missing, doing wrong, or is there anything you can talk about, you know, is there anything you see when people come in and don't succeed in a business like that, that has that kind of nostalgia behind it? Is there anything you can share that you've seen there?
Yeah, look, I think you always learn more from your mistakes than your sort of successes. I think that's something that's talked a lot about, but I think that is the reality. Yeah, there's a few mistakes. I think the agencies you pick and work with, I think the briefing is so critical. I think there was probably a couple of briefs that went in that weren't with the sharpest briefs. The proposition wasn't as great as it could be. All the audience work wasn't there. And so then the work came out the other side wasn't probably meeting our expectations. And I think a lot of the time, I'm working from an agency side, I sort of understood not all the agency's fault. A lot of the time it's actually the client's fault, or it's shared responsibility to get the right brief, sort of shit in, shit out, sort of the adage goes. And I think that is important. And I learned that a lot at Diageo, the time and work and effort to get the brief right and the strategy behind that. That's where I sort of learned to be strategic, I think, more than sort of executional in past roles. But yeah, I think the brief was a key sort of learning. I think another learning was just being open to sort of feedback and not being defensive. And I think sort of always having that people are coming with positive intent to make things better.
Yep.
Sort of growth mindset is sort of another way of putting it. I think that was something I learned at Diageo, is I wasn't right most of the time. And I think I could learn a bunch from my boss and peers and people in the business who had done it for either longer or better. So being open and learning a few mistakes and trying not to make them again, I think was critical.
As I mentioned, you were there for about 4.5 years. What kept you there? What kept you motivated? How did your role change or grow during that period?
Yeah, my role sort of was broader. So it's sort of the digital but also the marketing. So I think having both those in my remit was interesting. The other thing is Diageo does a lot of innovation around product. And I think that keeps it interesting. Launching into about 15 markets. I think that was really sort of a great learning for me around, okay, not every market's the same, not every country's the same. I sort of knew that from travels, but I think from a marketing point of view, the culture nuances, the audience work you need to do, the supply chain, it was sort of quite broad. But launching into a market like India is very different to sort of building out a brand in Europe. So that kept me really interested, kept me developing. Diageo is a great company that keeps you on your toes around your development and wanting to make sure you grow and puts a lot of things in place to help that and make that happen. But it wasn't sort of one or two things. I think it was a bunch of areas around the brands I worked on, the company I worked for, and launching into markets and building new platforms and creative ideas and comms ideas just kept it really interesting. And you're running around with a guy dressed as a pirate. Like, what more could you want, Dane?
That is true. That is true, mate.
Buccaneer, sorry, not pirate.
Buccaneer. 100%. Love the captain. You've mentioned a couple of times now with Google around culture, also around coaching development, and now you've mentioned it in some of these earlier roles. That's obviously been an important thread that's been, luckily for you, consistent, but also one of your priorities this whole career journey.
Yeah, I think the culture bit, the priority of wanting to work with a company and for companies that have a strong culture has come later in my career, if I'm honest. And it's been sort of something that's sort of grown, maybe without me realizing, but something that became more important the latter years. I've been really lucky, if I'm honest, that the companies I work for have been great in their culture majority of the time. And I think, the culture bit's ladder. I think the development of people, again, you don't quite realize what you're getting at the time until you look back and until you're in a sort of a leadership role where you're developing people and talent, how important that is. So some of these things you just don't realize as you're going through it until you look back. But culture is super important. I think people and development and talent, again, is really important.
During this period, were you doing any of your own, I guess, extracurricular learning or research or studies, anything outside that you were doing beyond your everyday job?
No, the area I'd probably always been interested in sort of digital and technology. And yep. so blogs and literature online, offline around digital and the sort of digital revolution I remember talking about years ago and how we're in the middle of it. I think that was something I would always lean into from back in that day at Hewlett Packard and got that sort of bug. When I went back to university, I didn't sort of mention it, but I sort of focused on third generation mobile communication and the impact that was going to have. Quite ironic that we're launching 5G now, 20 years later. But yeah, I got the bug for digital, and I think that was an area that I always wanted to sort of keep on top of the new things that was happening and keep learning about it, because it was, and it continues to still do, be such a fast moving area and things change a lot. So I think you have to stay on the pulse of what's new, what's happening. And so that was an area on top of my sort of day job that just naturally happened, but really wanted to stay on top of those new trends and the things that were happening in that world.
It's a perfect segue for your next role. Moving to McDonald's, moving to Australia.
Yeah.
To lead the digital department and really undertake a digital transformation for a very famous, very big, very successful business.
Yeah.
That is slow moving in some certain ways. You came out here to Australia to revolutionize and digitize that business.
Yeah.
Talk me through the move to Australia and talk me through getting that role and how you got it with McDonald's.
Yeah, the move to Australia was a bit of a lifestyle change. If I had two small children, we'd been in London, my wife and I, 10 years at the time, maybe a bit longer. And I think we felt like it was the right time to sort of move out to suburbia, as it were. But I don't think we were quite ready to go out to the suburbs of London and travel in. And so we wanted a bit of our own life adventure. And my wife and I had both independently traveled to Australia, as I mentioned earlier. And so we sort of just felt the opportunity was there to give it a crack and have a bit of a change in lifestyle, change in life. It wasn't all the sort of the beaches and the laying back and taking it easy that was the attraction. I think it was more just a bit of a change and a lifestyle challenge. So we decided we'd want to move out and started putting the feelers out. I talked internally to Diageo and they were pretty amazing actually, and had a job lined up to work in the Diageo office here. So I could have sort of moved internally. But then I got this phone call from a headhunter. My CV had made it through to later, and sort of McDonald's was put on my plate. I think that my first reaction was sort of, not really sure actually. The more I understood about the opportunity, the more I talked to the sort of the hiring manager or the CMO at the time, and how visionary he was, and he sold it pretty well. And so we decided it was a sort of a too good to be true opportunity, where the brand was strong, but it hadn't been digitalized. It needed to transform. It had a huge amount of resources to be able to do that, but it was pretty slow in sort of catching up. I think its competitors at the time were ahead. And so the attraction to lead the transformation of a brand the size of McDonald's, to build a team, and to really lead that in a market the size of Australia. And plus, at the time I didn't realize, but understood now and sort of through that process, that Australia was a key market for McDonald's globally. I think 3-4 in the world. Innovative market, delivered McCafe and other innovations into sort of the global system that was McDonald's. And you know it well, having worked with you there. The attraction was too good to be true from a job point of view. And it really became a bit of a dream job, actually. I think that opportunity to transform, it was attractive. And so we packed our bags, we packed up the cargo box and moved out to Australia to sort of give ourselves a bit of a life challenge. And if I'm honest, I wanted to give myself a bit of a work challenge. I think I could have somewhat made it easier for myself to move internally with Diageo, understood the categories and understood the sort of the brands. And actually Bundy was in my remit at the time from a global point of view, but didn't travel that far outside of Australia. But no, I think the McDonald's challenge, work and life challenge at the same time, felt like too good to be true.
And, you know, just talk about the difference there between dream job because of the company I want to work for. Yeah, you know, I mentioned earlier, you just have to talk to a handful of students and plenty of them are going to say Google, right? Just purely not necessarily know what they want to do there, but just work for Google.
Yeah.
Conversely, there are dream jobs that come up because of the actual work that you want to do, the products you get to touch or the campaigns you get to run, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Just talk about that switch. You know, what was it that hooked you onto the job you got to do with McDonald's?
Yeah, I think McDonald's actually was more the job and my boss, if I'm honest. I think the job was just sort of white piece of paper, build out the digital strategy in a company the size of McDonald's with 1,000 restaurants. I like a fry or a burger now and again. So the product was attractive as well. But the job to lead the transformation was really attractive, as well as then the person I'll be working for. I think Mark at the time really painted a picture that we could somewhat do anything we wanted to from a build up the strategy. He didn't really tell me about how we'd have to engage the licensees, but that was fun going and sort of learned a bunch about stakeholder management. But it was that opportunity to sort of build out the strategy, build a vision. I also wanted to get a bit more commercial. I think in a global role in Diageo, it's more brand and you're creating comms at a sort of global level and you are sort of somewhat overseeing the commercials, but you're not deep in it. And I think getting into a market, working for a commercially led, as you know, company like McDonald's, that was an area sort of building out my, I guess, my capabilities that I wanted to sort of lean into. And so, yeah, that was the attraction, less the culture in the company, I guess.
And it's a very interesting insight. And was that thought process, especially around the, I need a little bit more commercial experience, was that foresight into 5 to 10 years down the track, or was it more, as of today, I need some more commercial
A bit of experience. Both. I think that the as of today, I felt that was an area I could improve. Yep. And so it's definitely an area I sort of, even at Diageo, I remember talking about it in my sort of development plans with my boss at the time, is getting a bit more commercial and learning about the P&L and learning about that. But I think it was also longer term to be a CMO, which like that is the game that I want to aim for and want to achieve. I think you've got to be commercial. CMOs that aren't, probably aren't as successful as others. So, yeah, short term saw the opportunity or the need, but it was definitely to build out for the longer term, I guess, opportunity.
And was there any huge learnings that you got out of that have set yourself up for this role you're in now? Was there, again, back to a mistake or an opportunity you took or a risk that you took that paid off?
At Macca's?
Yep.
Yeah, there was a bunch of learnings. I think the key one was stakeholder management. And it was something that I'd been doing quite a lot on Diageo, and it was a sort of a strength. At Diageo, we were working with various markets and various stakeholders. So stakeholders was quite different, but you had to manage it well. McDonald's, and I joke about it, I sort of had 250 bosses looking after my marketing or digital plan. And that is the licensee community who drive a lot of the or the company has to engage them around the plan, the business plan, but also the marketing plan. So I think that was the biggest, I think, learning for me was around the sort of operator engagement. The other piece was sort of setting a vision and delivering a sort of a roadmap to get there. I think that was an area, did a bit of it at Diageo, but having that white piece of paper at Macca's and having a boss who was supportive of saying, where are you going to go? Where do you want to take this? I can help work through how we're going to get there, and we'll engage the right people along the way. But I learned a sort of around setting a vision is critical for a company, for a brand, and then the roadmap for how you're getting there, and then the stakeholders you have to engage along the way. They were sort of the big areas I learned. It was great fun. I think innovating with McDonald's, they wanted to be first on most things. So we launched a bunch of sort of new advertising products. We built out the sort of e-commerce platforms and led the way globally as well as in the market on some areas. So I think we had the resources to really drive it hard. And as you know, we had some fun along the way.
We did, mate. Everything from Monopoly to digitizing drive-through.
Yeah, indeed.
Let's quickly jump to today. The biggest change from previous jobs you've done, previous work you've done, previous companies you've done, set us up for life at Google. What's the biggest wow that comes out?
The people has blown me away. I think the people in the company are amazing, and it's not sort of just one of those things you just say lightly. They're not only are they super smart, but they're super authentic and super empathetic. And I think I'm working on, and that's why I love the company so much, I'm working for a company where the people really care, and the people are wanting to do amazing things and be helpful and drive the products and do it in a way that is respectful and thoughtful of not only the users and their privacy, but also of each other. And I think the scale of the company and holding the culture true as it grew, and being clear about its purpose, but having just amazing people around you doing it is what blows me away every day. I think that's what attracted me to the company, but also just every day I'm just so blown away by the people and the sort of, the engagement, I guess.
I could talk to you for 2 hours or more, but I'm going to wrap this up with our student question of the week because it's a perfect segue talking about people. So this question comes from Cara, and her question is, what's the one consistency you see in the people at your current role?
What's the one consistency I see in the people in the current role? Authenticity is probably the biggest one. I think the people are authentic. And I think that's critical in today's world. If you're going for jobs and if you want to get and land hopefully dream jobs, I think being authentic both to yourself but also in the role you do, that is super consistent in Google. Like the authenticity in that building, in that company, it's pretty amazing. And I think as an individual, if you can be authentic and if you can hold that integrity high, both from what you do from a professional point of view, but I think actually personally as well, hopefully it stands you in pretty good stead to have a decent career and have some fun along the way.
Perfect, Mark. I really appreciate our chat. Thanks so much for being on the Dream Job Ready podcast. Can't wait to see what else happens with you and your role at Google.
Thanks, Sharpie.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.